Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. My man Diesel is back in the network studio, back on the button switching the switches, and we're just rocking and rolling. Little panic attack during the break there, huh, D-Train?
Yeah, having a little technical difficulties, but why not? It's a Friday. Why not keep us on our toes 5 days a week?
We have little technical difficulties every day. That's just like, it's just what we do. It's just how we roll, man. We figure it out as we go, and, you know, champions rise to the occasion, I believe is how the phrase goes. We got it figured out, I think, having some issues between Diesel and I being able to talk off the air. But as long as we're on the air, Diesel, as long as we're on the air, then I think we can get through this thing, man. So let's figure it out. What do you say, America? Let's have a little fun here on a whatever today is. Friday. Yeah, it's Friday. Let's have some fun on a Friday. There we go. Lot to get to, lot to talk about. The big conversation, obviously, yesterday, the Southeastern Conference has announced that they will be playing a 10-game conference-only schedule, which means that the South Carolina-Clemson game is off the table alongside the Georgia-Georgia Tech matchup, alongside the Louisville versus Kentucky matchup, and alongside a handful of other matchups that will be impacted dramatically by the SEC's decision here, and not frankly a shocking decision. Honestly, it's something we've talked about having a possibility to happen without schools wanting to play out of conference, and it looks like that is the case here for the SEC. They have elected to go ahead and play without their conference schools going on the road out of conference, or I guess hosting out of conference. Why have they done that? That's a conversation we've had a lot of talk about over the past couple of segments. And the honest answer is, well, we're still kind of trying to figure that out. We don't really know. My theory, as I mentioned, my working theory has been that when it comes down to it, the SEC just wanted to make sure that they were doing everything they could do and everything within their power to make sure that their member institutions were safe, frankly. I mean, you can't know if you are the Southeastern Conference. You can't know that, say, Florida State is going to follow the same level of policy, procedures, and protocols as Florida, and you don't want to risk that. You can't know that Clemson is going to take care of themselves the same way that the SEC is going to demand that South Carolina takes care of itself. And because of that reality, it is just frankly safer to keep your guys away from their guys, unfortunately. I hate it, but that's just the reality that the Southeastern Conference faces. So there's also the questions about money. Obviously, we had Jim call in that last segment and say that he thinks that there's probably some level of concern about the finances of how all of this pans out. This would be the SEC doing what they could do to make sure that individual schools that have signed contracts aren't on the hook for millions of dollars to teams that they would have to pull games away from because of the conference's decision. If the conference makes the call, then those individual schools likely won't have to eat up millions of dollars in broken contract money. And I think that there is likely some element of accuracy to that as well. So thank you very much to Jim for that conversation. By the way, I said during that segment, after we got a text to 71307, and you can text as well, start your text with ESPN. After we got a text in that last segment asking whether I thought that this would make the college football season more or less competitive, my response was probably a little bit of both, right? You're going to have a lot of interconference ball going on that has the potential to be very entertaining. I think the top of the Southeastern Conference is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Clemson, I hate to say it for the ACC, but Clemson basically just got gifted a cakewalk through that entire conference. I mean, who in the world has a single thought that Clemson isn't going to be able to cakewalk to 10-0 in conference? There's only one potential letdown, and that's having to go on the road to South Bend, Indiana, and play Notre Dame. And there are question marks about that game, though I think Clemson's probably the better team there. And Notre Dame has a history over the past few years of losing out on those biggest games. But I said during that segment that the biggest concern that I had, or the thing that I liked the least about this, was that we were going to be losing those cross-conference examinations, right? We were going to be losing the situations where we got to watch, a second-tier Big Ten team go on the road to play a top-tier SEC squad, or a middle-of-the-pack ACC squad go out there and battle a middle-of-the-pack SEC squad to give us a little bit of a barometer as to just how good those conferences are. Now, with the only playing interconference cross-conference games, obviously that's going to be a little bit more difficult to figure out who really is that good and who isn't. And then I got a text, Diesel, that said, and I quote, "Did you just say the teams would be getting prostate examinations?" No. No, texter. No, I did not. Diesel, am I still connected, by the way?
Yes, you are.
Okay, perfect. Because now it's in my head, Diesel. Now it's in my head. Now our little issues ongoing are in my head, and I get concerned. Not going to lie. All right, we'll get it going. So no, texter. I did not say that teams would be getting prostate examinations. I am 99% sure that a prostate examination would not help in any way, shape, or form with determining the realities of COVID-19. I'm fairly sure that that is not a test that would really help the SEC, ACC, or any other squads determine whether or not they would be able to safely play football. But hey, I'm not a doctor, nor did I stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. What the hell do I know? All right, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. You can also text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN so that it filters to us. 71307 is the text line. You got something more, a little long format, and you want to come on, or you don't want to come on air with it, that's super cool as well. Shoot me an email, robbrown@espnupstate.com. robbrown@espnupstate.com is the way to email us. You can tweet us. I am at the Rob Brown Show on Twitter, at the Rob Brown Show. Diesel is at Diesel on Radio, at Diesel on Radio. If you like to tweet, Diesel at ESPN Upstate will get you to everybody at the ESPN Upstate Radio Ranch. So there's all the different ways for you to get in touch with us. We also learned that the Cincinnati Reds have had not one but two positive coronavirus tests. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I think the majority of us would go, okay, man, 2 weeks, or two players. That's not a huge deal. Two players, not a huge deal, not the end of the season. But two players, length of time unknown, length of contact with individuals unplanned for. There's not really any way to know what exactly contact happened. The examinations are underway as far as checking out where there was cross contact with other players on the squad. But because of those two players testing positive for the Cincinnati Reds, their baseball game set for this afternoon has been postponed. So the Reds will not be playing this afternoon. And because baseball is having to make all this up as they go, now it turns out that their game will be turned into part of a doubleheader coming up on Sunday. They will play a game Saturday night, two games on Sunday to make up for that postponed game today. Where does that leave baseball? Well, that's a question baseball is now getting to answer, because there obviously are a lot of question marks about how baseball is going to handle this. We have already had Jesse Rogers of ESPN, who has said if this would have happened before the Marlins incident, that game would have gotten played today. Those two players would have been quarantined. They would have been taken out of the lineup, and the Reds would have gotten told to go ahead and play the game. But because this happened after the Marlins breakout, and because this has now left us in a spot where baseball is trying to be very cautious and very careful about where they take their sport moving forward, we are going to go ahead and postpone that game out of an abundance of caution. And I think most of us would agree that's the right decision. As much as I hate that we are now losing games to COVID-19, and small numbers of it, right? Just a pair of players is a small number of it. But that is where baseball is. We told you when the Marlins outbreak started a couple of weeks ago that this was not just a probability. This was a likely probability in Major League Baseball. It was likely that baseball was going to end up having positive tests, having a number of positive tests, and pulling a lot of panic. There was going to be a lot of panic about what direction that would send baseball once that positive test, or those positive tests, I guess we should say, started showing up routinely. So what does baseball do now? What's the next step? Well, as of right now, the next step appears to be go ahead, put the Reds game out of commission for the day, and worry about where they're going to go next after we contact trace the rest of the team. So, 844-GSP, ESPN's the number. Let's take a real quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We will take a look at where we now stand with college football with the SEC schedule officially announced. The ACC did the same a day and a half ago. We know where the Big Ten is going. We know where the Pac-12 is going. All we're waiting for now is the Big 12. Will we even get the football? We'll address that and a whole lot more coming up as the show progresses. My name is Rob Brown. My man Diesel's back in the network studio. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back to Rob Brown Show. Rolls on almost halftime here on the broadcast. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 844-477-3776. If you'd like to be a part of the show, that's how you do it. Text me 71307. Tweet me at the Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio. We'd love to have you join in on the show with us. At BWattNOL3, at BWattNOL says, come on, Rob, are you trying to tell us the SEC and ACC are going to have drastic differences in testing procedures? Don't forget, Duke is in our conference. If there is any difference, it would be the ACC being more strict when it comes to COVID testing. I say that lightheartedly, LOL. I have no idea, but definitely blank Duke, because I thought they were going to be the reason we wouldn't play, end quote. Listen, I think a lot of people around our area say blank Duke for a lot of reasons. Although Mark Ryan, and Diesel, I need your thoughts on this. Mark Ryan told me when I got here that there was a shockingly high number of Duke basketball fans. He told me that there are and I don't know if this is accurate or not, so you enlighten me, and callers, texters, you enlighten me. And he said this on his show, so I don't think I'm outing him. But he said that there is a shockingly high number of Clemson football fans who are also Duke basketball fans. They're crossover fans because of the level of success that Duke has had and the level of success that Clemson has had. I'm not saying that he's called you all bandwagon fans, but he's told me that I should be prepared when college basketball starts back up next year.
Yeah, that's...
I should be prepared for the number of Duke fans in the area.
That's one of the weakest little backhand digs you hear all the time. You hear it all the time. All the time. I hear that jab thrown at App fans. Oh, you're only football fans. Then when basketball season comes around, you put on your powder blue. You know, it's that same, you know, trash talking, backhanded thing. Don't put any stock in that.
anyway, so look, I'm not saying that the ACC is going to have better testing than the SEC or vice versa. I'm saying nothing to that effect at all. All I'm saying is that at the end of the day, these conferences understand that they have a level of responsibility, and frankly, more than responsibility, importance-wise, unfortunately, they have a lot of liability here in order to protect their athletes. So the SEC, and this is, again, it's a working theory. It's not me saying this is what it is. It's just the only theory that I have. The theory that I have right now is that the Southeastern Conference basically wants to protect their schools from breakouts, and because of the fact that they cannot control the testing procedures of any other conference, and it wouldn't just be the ACC, right? Like, I know we kind of lean on the ACC because that's the biggest crossover market, but remember, we were supposed to have early in the season this year, UT, the University of Texas, was supposed to visit LSU, so you had a Big 12 crossover. USC was supposed to play Alabama. There's a Pac-12 crossover. The SEC was going to have multiple crossover games this year with a number of different conferences, and all of those had to come off the books. Now, we already know the Big 10 games and the Pac-12 games were off the books, but the ACC games were still on the books. And while the Big 12 has not made an announcement yet, at least the Big 12 games were still on the books pending the Big 12 deciding to go to a 10-plus-1 model like the ACC elected to go to. The only point that I'm making here is that there was no way for the Southeastern Conference to know for sure that all the other teams on the docket that they would be squaring off against would be held to the same level of responsibility to protect themselves and protect their players and their teams the same way that the SEC was planning on doing. So, you know, look, when it comes down to it, I think it's very simply the SEC trying to protect itself, okay? Nothing more, nothing less. I think it's the SEC trying to protect itself. And again, it's like we talked about yesterday. We still have data coming in about COVID-19. We are still learning more. And the SEC, I think, is doing what everybody else is doing by pushing their games back. I mean, their games aren't starting till damn near the end of September. The SEC championship game, if it's played, will be played the weekend before, actually 6 days, not even a full week, the weekend before Christmas. That's how far back that they're pushing that game. I think, and I said this yesterday on WNSP 105.5 down in Mobile, I said this yesterday on Dave Schultz's show. I think one of the things that these conferences are doing right now is they're trying to buy themselves as much time as possible, right? They're trying to give themselves as much time as possible. The ACC has today, right now, and this may change, commit themselves to playing one more game than the Southeastern Conference, which means that they need to give themselves one more week to play than the Southeastern Conference if they want to remain on that same schedule, which I ultimately think that they do. So this is the conferences, I really think all of them, this is the conferences trying to buy themselves as much time as they can for a variety of reasons. But I think the predominant one is, let's see what happens with the virus, right? You don't want to, one of the things they don't want to do is start the season, get a week or two or three into it, and then we have national breakouts again and go, okay, guys, we got to stop, right? They don't want to do that. It's a bad look. There's a lot of logistics that would be involved in that would be an absolute pain in the rear. They don't want to have to do that. So they want to give themselves as much time and flexibility as they can to finish as late as they can without overlapping with where the college football bowl season, first off. But again, I'm pretty sure we all understand there's not going to be any bowl games this year, but certainly with the college football playoffs, if and when the college football playoffs take place. So they're buying themselves time. They're trying to create a situation where they've got a little room to move, and they protect themselves from other conferences and other schools that may not go quite as far out of their way to prevent the spread of COVID and end up having a breakout. Because could you imagine if Louisville and Kentucky get together and Louisville's testing isn't as good as Kentucky's, there's a breakout in Kentucky, and then Kentucky's got two more SEC games to play that they can't finish up, right? I mean, you got to cover your own bases, right? You got a CYA. We hear that all the time in business. CYA, man, cover your own ass. You got a CYA, and it looks like I think that's what the ACC is doing in all of this. All right, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the way to go to be a part of the program. Let's take a real quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We'll talk a little more about what the ACC is planning on doing, how college football, the rest of the country is reacting to the SEC's decision, and plenty more. Stick around. My name's Rob Brown. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. I am Rob Brown. My man Diesel back in the network studio pushing the button, switching the switches. 71307 is the text line. Started with ESPN at ESPN, ESPN. Why does it the all-powerful NCAA have a testing regulation across all sports? Diesel, I don't think there is a more accurate thing to call the NCAA than all-powerful. I mean, if this pandemic has taught us one thing about college football, D-Train, it's that the NCAA, it's basically a farce at this point, right?
I think you mean, like, not all powerful, but powerless.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a joke. It is, okay? Look, I have been in favor of the idea for a couple of years. I had been in favor of the concept of college football having a centralized power, right? The conferences can still control the conferences. They are still in charge of their own settings. They're still in charge of their own venues. They're still in charge of their own scheduling and all that fun stuff. But when it comes to stuff like this, and again, I understand that the COVID-19 is it's an anomaly, right? I can't think of anything that has come about in as long as I have been watching college football that has had the impact on college football that coronavirus has had on college football. That's just what it is. But it also shows that the possibility of these college football earthquaking type scenarios are a reality, and they're a reality we have to deal with moving forward. Yes, I think college football would be better off if the NCAA as a whole had the guy, right? Or the decision making, whether it's the football oversight committee or you form a chair where you have, let's make it up, two athletic directors from the Power Five conferences, and then five athletic directors from the Group of Five, and then another five from the lower division. You bring them all together in a room, and then that committee is in charge of making the decisions. And if they make a decision in a situation like coronavirus, then the rest of football, if you want to play under the NCAA banner, you have to force it. But again, we've had this discussion as well, and we are going to have another discussion about it in the very near future. I guarantee it's going to go down. The problem you bump into here, if you're the NCAA and creating this committee, is that the conferences likely aren't going to submit to it. And when it comes down to it, this has been floated as a threat and not an idle one many times. What do you do if you are the NCAA and the Power Five conferences decide, yeah, this sucks, we don't want to do this anymore? So they take down the NCAA flag and they go, we're going to make our own thing now. The ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12, we're going to make our own thing now. We're going to have a separate group. It's not going to play under the NCAA banner. And we are going to move on. We are going to we're going to handle our own business. We're going to create our own college football committee, our own college football organization, and the rest of you losers can go play under the NCAA if you still want to. So you get D2 ball, you get FCS ball, those type of football programs would then have to create and play under their own banner, whether it's the NCAA or something else entirely. They would have to create a different program. And I think, honestly, that might be what we're moving towards at this point. It is that question exactly that says, look, there's two options, and one of these is going to happen down the road. Either A, the NCAA is going to have to figure out a way to work with the Power Five conferences and say, this is what we need. We need to have an official oversight group. We'll build it out of ADs or chancellors or whatever the P5 decision makers decide to go with, right? Or the P5 is going to set up their own thing. But what we are watching happen right now, with the conferences basically all making their own decisions, they're all impacting each other. I mean, heck, I hate to say it, but what does the ACC look like today when they said, okay, we're going to go all conference but plus one, and they extend the olive branch to the SEC and the Big 12, really, but they extend the olive branch to the other conferences and say, but we still want to be able to work out something with you guys where we can at least rely on each other and keep our rivalries intact. And the SEC went, nah, dog, we good. We're all right. We're set. Don't worry about us. We got our own thing going on over here. Now the ACC kind of looks silly, right? I mean, it's not bad. It's not like they got, you know, it's not like the ACC is standing out front of the SEC's house in a denim jean vest with a boombox up on top of their head playing sad love songs asking for a date with the SEC. But it kind of does feel like that, right? Like they put out a plea. They put out a request. They asked for the SEC's hand for a dance, and the SEC said, no, we're good. And to be honest with you, the Pac-12, I think at this point, the Pac-12 follows suit, right? I mean, the Pac-12 could say, okay, we're going to go 10-1, but the only dance partner now is either you go down to FCS squads or group of five squads, or the Big 12 and the ACC matchup for those plus ones, which requires all of those teams to crisscross the country from the Midwest out to the East Coast and the East Coast out to the Midwest, which isn't a good look either. So the point of all of this comes down to college football doesn't have one set direction to move in, and it creates a problem. Text line 71307, Diesel, you have a text. Diesel, where do we stand? Where do we stand in the alarm sounder?
Alarm, 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 alarm. That's where we stand.
Alarm. By the way, I said last night I was having a meeting with a group of people last night, and that conversation came up, and it was fun for me, Diesel, because for about the next 20 minutes after this conversation came up, anytime somebody would say something, other people would turn and go, hey, Rob, are you alarmed by that? Are you alarmed by his stance on fried chicken? Are you alarmed by his stance on this particular beer? And now I'm getting texts throughout the day today from people saying, hey, Rob, how do you spell alarm? Alarm. How do you spell alarm? So now my on-air persona has bled over into my real life, and now all my friends are doing this, Diesel. Suffice to say, I need to find another word to replace the word alarm with, because this is annoying.
Or you just go head first into it. Damn the torpedoes, alarm. Go head first into it.
Do me a favor. We got to take a break. I'm going to go ahead and tell my phone to set me an alarm for 5 minutes from now when we come back on the Rob Brown Show. I am Rob Brown. Diesel's back in the studio sounding the alarm because it's time for a break. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, coronavirus on campuses. One of the ideas that's been floated is the premise of potentially having football, but having college campuses closed. And I honestly, for the record, just so we're clear, all this optimism about having football is great. I'm here for it. That's awesome. I hope it happens. Obviously, it's the bread and butter, not just of the station, but if you want to be real, college football is what floats the budget for most sports talk, not just across the upstate, but across the country. Every station I've ever worked at, college football has been what pays the bills. Okay, it just does. Most of the money comes in on college football. Is it possible that we'll have college football even if campuses are closed, which it's becoming a real possibility? Maybe. But one of the things we have to keep an eye on, and I know it's a sports station, and I know we're supposed to hashtag stick to sports and all that, and I'm fine with all that, but we do have to monitor what is going on in campuses. Well, breaking news from the LA Times, USC, the left coast USC, South California, is now dealing with an outbreak of coronavirus that is spread across the university's Greek system now. The school has detected, before campuses even are open, 40 positive COVID cases involving individuals living in one frat row on 28th Street across the campus. Van Orman said, Dr. Sarah Van Orman, who is UFC's chief student health officer, said, quote, a significant number of these cases were associated with four fraternity houses. USC and other universities, according to the LA Times, have adapted in an effort to keep students, staff, and local community safe during the pandemic. But because of the fact that there is limited on-campus housing available to decrease density, a lot of kids are having to find off-campus solutions. And one of those solutions that has been called up is to have kids live on, for the kids themselves, is to move in on frat row. Well, since the university can't really do a whole heck of a lot in order to mitigate and limit the risk of students living on frat row, now we have a breakout of kids, and that's happening on the campus at USC. Again, I think you're going to end up having a lot more colleges decide that they're going to move to an online only format and are going to be holding their campuses closed and moving forward. We will find out if that turns out to be the case or not, I am sure, in the next couple of weeks, as colleges are about to have to start making. I'm not sure, and Diesel, you're significantly younger than I am. Around what time would the college campuses open? I'm not 100% sure. It'd probably be what, like mid-September? No, it'd be early September, right?
Yeah, it would be early September, because if we got you don't have football games before campuses, like before students move in.
Yeah, so I mean, I just don't know. Like I said, it's very nice. It's very nice for us to be optimistic. I'm glad the schedules are starting to come out. I'm glad to hear the fact that the conferences are starting to set up football. I mean, yes, let's all be optimistic, but if we're going to have these kids, because this is it, right? Like, I think we have this tendency to look at college football players. We talked yesterday about our tendency when we look at NFL players, right? We look at NFL players, and we tend to think of guys in their mid-30s. We tend to think of adults, and we forget that a lot of these NFL guys are 22, 23 years old. They're still dumb kids, and that's from somebody who at 35 is still a dumb kid. I think we almost have a tendency to do the same when we think about college football players, right? We think about college football players, and for whatever reason in our mind, we think, they're adults. They can handle their own business. College kids are dumb. I was one. I was also dumb. I can almost guarantee you that had this happened while I was in college, I probably would have been one of the dudes that's hanging out in the frat house like, everybody else around me will take care of it. College football players are still college kids. So I just, like I said, I'm optimistic. I'm happy that we have the schedules. This is not me trying to be Debbie Downer and rain on everybody's parade, but we also have to recognize the reality of the situation is that college kids are college kids, and college kids are dumb, and dumb college kids usually do dumb stuff, and this is not likely to change now all of a sudden over a pandemic. It's an unfortunate reality, but it is a reality nonetheless. 844-GSP-ESPN. 844-477-3776 is the way to go to be a part of the program. Text us 71307. Start your text with ESPN. At ESPN, come on, Rob. Use alert and red alert. Hope that is an alarm. Alarming. ESPN, Diesel, sound the alarm. Rob said West Coast USC. There is no East Coast USC. However, there is a lot of U of SC. All right. Go ahead and inform me now, because it has always been USC to me, USC and USC. And then you distinguish. It's either USC Southern Cal or, Southern Cal or USC South Carolina. Diesel, do the South Carolina fans call themselves U of FC? Or is that what the Clemson fans call the South Carolina fans to mock them? Because I got to tell you, I've heard it enough. And I'm easily confused. Which one is it?
I don't know. I wish I had it. I mean, like, I'm from North Carolina, so when you say, when you say Carolina, I think powder blue. But here, it's garnet. So, to me, Carolina is in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I mean, if I just say Carolina, I think by default, like, Carolina has claimed the brand there, right? Like, Carolina is Carolina. It's North Carolina. It's the powder blue. It's basketball. It's Michael Jordan. That's what we think when we say Carolina. But since I got here, when I got here, I started calling it USC, right? It's the University of South Carolina, USC. And if I say USC and I'm talking Southern Cal, then I either say Southern Cal, or I'll say USC West, or I'll say USC West Coast, or I'll say the Trojans. I distinguish that from USC, which being from the Southeast, USC is South Carolina. But since I have been here, I have been told repeatedly that it is U of SC, and I cannot figure out if South Carolina fans are calling themselves U of FC, or if Clemson fans are mocking them for deciding to call themselves the University of South Carolina and rolling with that, and the Clemson fans are mocking Carolina fans. So text me now. I've got this text. It's U of FC, U of SC. They rebranded themselves last year. Well, I was here, obviously well after that happened. So here's what I don't want. I don't want to call them U of FC on the radio and then have South Carolina fans calling me and going, that's only what Clemson fans say. Stop making fun of us. That's not the goal. But I'm very confused. I'm very confused. Let's see. At ESPN, Rob, the Gamecocks officially changed their name to U of SC. All right. Good enough for me. I'll keep researching.
If you say so.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out. All right, that's going to just about put our numero dos in the books. We got 1 hour left to go. We'll get some NBA talking here. When we come back, break down last night's two games, the Pelicans and the Jazz. Rudy Gobert with the double-double lifts him and his Jazz teammates over Zion and the Pelicans. And I will tell you, if the Pelicans don't move on from Alvin Gentry, they are going to waste what I think might be the most talented young lineup in the NBA. Okay, I told you yesterday, you look 1-5. I think the Pelicans might have the best starting five over, in terms of depth at all five spots in the entire NBA restart. They should have won that game last night. But two things went wrong. I'll tell you what they were. And LeBron James, dude can still get it. But I saw a change in his game last night that made me think he might be more dangerous at 35 than we have given him credit for. We'll address that when we come back as well. My name is Rob Brown. My man Diesel's on the ones and twos, ripping it up for you back at the Radio Ranch. We got to take our quick top of the hour break. We come back, 60 minutes left to play. We turn it over to Offsides with Mark Ryan and Lonzo and then steam towards the weekend. Stick around, y'all. My name is Rob Brown. He is Diesel. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.